Love you, Brother Ken. Appreciate you. He said, well, maybe they just want to hear you read the scripture more and not hear me sing. I said, fooey on that. Amen. We love hearing you sing, Brother Ken. I appreciate you all being here tonight. And I know I mentioned kind of pulled a little bit to come and to be here. You know, we live in strange days. And some of you hoary-headed saints, and I say that with all respect and reverence, amen. I know some of you ladies aren't hoary-headed, but that's because you changed the color, amen. And but you know what I mean, amen. You've been around a few years. I cannot imagine what this world looks like to you that were born 60 and 70 and 80 and 90 years ago. I cannot imagine what the changes. And by the way, some of them good. Some of them wonderful. Pastor Donald's going to go in and have a surgery next week where they use a laser and can get within an inch, you know, just a tenth of a tenth of a tenth of an inch. They used to just go in with a scalpel and do the best they could. Amen. I think about those kind of things. But America has so many great needs. And boy, a sermon could be preached on each one of these. I think of our political needs. Boy, I'll tell you, and I don't want to get going because I'll preach and preach and preach. I think, obviously, we know there are lots of political needs. Amen, amen. There's lots of social needs. You know, there are people that are just hurting. There are people that need a hand up. There are, of course, going along with both of those, there are great financial needs in America. By the way, chief among them is the national debt that keeps going up and up and up and up and up. And I like what Dave Ramsey said a long time ago. He said the federal government is like trying to structure your budget on $60,000 a year, having $70,000 a year of bills and $255,000 of credit card debt. You can't do it, amen? And so there's great financial needs. There's great moral needs. There's great moral needs in our country. Our country's in a moral mess, amen? A quagmire of immorality. I think of spiritual needs, and certainly we could take this title tonight of the message and certainly say everybody's greatest need is Christ, amen? Absolutely right. I think of the spiritual needs that we have in our country. So many. If you go to our text, I want you to see something. In Genesis 17 and 18, God promised a son to Abraham. Amen. And by the way, lest we're too hard on Sarah, Abraham laughed too in chapter 17, if you remember. Abraham, I'm 99 years old. I don't think this is going to happen. Amen. And God and two angels appeared into Abraham's tent in chapter number 18 here. And Abraham receives them and is hospitable to them in chapter 18, verses 2 through 8. And God reiterates His promise to give Abraham and Sarah a child. And listen, God doesn't put any words in by mistake or just to fill space. He says in verse 11, now Abraham and Sarah were old, amen, and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Folks, that is very simple to interpret if you have any sort of spiritual mind. She couldn't have babies anymore. She was 90. Now, just imagine in our church, okay, if Mrs. Kidd said, I'm going to have a baby. Now, first of all, we'd have real problems, amen? But Mrs. Kidd, 90 years old, that's gone. Those days are gone. That's why Sarah left. She left. By the way, you would have too, Mrs. Kidd, amen? She laughed. I love verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? You know what the answer to that question is?
No.
Nope. The one who... Oh, you mean the one who spoke the worlds into existence? Oh, you mean the one who reached down, grabbed a handful of dirt, and created the most incredible thing that's ever been created, the human body? Had a preacher in Bible college come and he preached on that text. He said, the Lord took of the dust of the ground and formed man. He said, you know, you're just nothing but souped up dirt. Souped up dirt in the hands of Almighty God. Amen. Amen. And so he says here, is anything too hard for the Lord? And he reiterates his promise to give them a seed that would be as the sand of the sea despite their age. And then God decides to make Abraham aware of his judgment upon Sodom. If you look with me in the text, he says in verse 17 there, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? And then he gets to, well, I guess would be our key verse tonight, or our text verse. We're going to jump around a little bit afterwards. But verse 19, the first half. It says, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. Can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, what I believe is America's greatest need? It's the Christian home. It's the Christian home. Can I say this, first of all, just by way of introduction? Can I tell you some things that do not constitute a Christian home in and of themselves? First of all, two Christians living in a home together does not constitute a Christian home. It doesn't. It was Billy Sunday that said, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than driving into a garage makes you a Cadillac. No. Two Christians living in a home together does not make a Christian home. The Bible in a home does not make a Christian home. Mom, we had a Bible in our home. We weren't a Christian home. We just weren't. There's lots of people that have a Bible. They got it from the hotel room. Yeah. The Gideons, amen. Took it home with them. Or it was grandma's Bible, and it sits and gathers dust. The Bible in a home does not constitute a Christian home. By the way, I'm for Christians living in a home together. I'm for the Bible being in a home. Can I say this? Christian music playing in a home does not make a Christian home. Though I believe this, if you're a Christian, you ought to have godly Christian music playing in your home. But that itself does not constitute a Christian home. Do you know Mormons play the hymn of the faith in their home? They do. A lot of the same hymns we sing. So that doesn't constitute a Christian home. Going to church as a family does not constitute a Christian home. Doesn't. I'm glad you do it. I think all families ought to go to church. I really do. But it doesn't constitute a Christian home. Can I say this? Verses on the wall and little Cracker Barrel sayings about faith do not constitute a Christian home. Again, I'm glad if you have them. I see some of them. We're in the Cracker Barrel waiting for our name to be called. And I say, oh, look at that little sign. That's great, you know. A little scriptural principle, but that does not, none of these things in and of themselves constitute a Christian home. Why is the Christian home America's greatest need? It's an old, simple, cliche proverb. We said America's in a mess politically, amen? America's in a mess socially. America's in a mess financially. America's in a mess morally. And the old cliche is this, as goes the home, so goes the church. As goes the church, so goes the nation. And I'm going to tell you, we used to do a principal. Brother Hauser's not here. I'd call on him at times like this. We had a principal in aerospace, Brother Jim. It was RCCA, root cause and corrective action, RCCA. We tried to, we had a problem somewhere in the aerospace process, and somebody came back with bad parts. We tried to figure out where it happened. And you could always tell by asking the question why five times. You sound like a bunch of two-year-olds. People say, oh, we had a part that didn't get plated. Why? Well, the person wasn't paying attention that day. Why? Well, because they were tired. Why? Because they worked 14 hours the day before. Why? But, and you'd go on and on and on like that. Amen. Why is America in a mess? Because the church is in a mess.
Amen.
Why is the church in a mess? Because our homes are in a mess. Amen. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, the home has been under attack since it was instituted. Go back just a few pages here. Genesis chapter 3 with me. Satan has been attacking the home since it was instituted. Genesis chapter 3. You remember in Genesis 2, God created Adam out of the dust of the earth, and then He created Eve out of His side. By the way, fellas, He didn't create her out of the head and didn't create her out of the foot. Created her right out of the middle. Amen. And praise the Lord, you can take that any way you want to. God created woman out of man. I like what Adam said. He said, whoa, man. Amen. And they called her woman. Praise God. And then it says in verse 1 of chapter 3, now the serpent, here's the devil, right in the home after it was instituted, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, by the way, God did never say that you shouldn't touch it. He said, don't eat of it. Maybe Adam told his wife, don't even touch it. Amen. Who knows? Amen. Verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day thou eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to be desired, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves apron. God instituted the home, a husband and a wife. And then Satan came right in. Can I say this, ladies and gentlemen? His attacks aren't letting up on our homes. Appreciate Mrs. Lawley tells me, she said, you know, Pastor, when my kids come home from school, I have to detox them. You know why?
Yeah.
Because Ken and Christine Lawley are trying to have a Christian home. And some of the things we're going to talk about. And there's a world system in place that is attacking that home. You say, I mean, an actual system? Absolutely. Satan is the god of this world. Small g, by the way. He's the god of this world. And he's attacking. And his attacks don't cease. And by the way, it seems like the more technologically advanced we get, the smarter Satan gets about his attacks on the home. And so I want to preach. This is such a simple message tonight. And I hope it'll be a blessing and applicable to seniors, grandmas and grandpas, to widowers, to divorcees, to moms and dads with children especially. I want to preach to you on America's greatest need. The Christian home. The real Christian home is what we need. Number one. What is a real Christian home? Number one. A home which is governed by biblical principles. A real Christian home is a home which is governed by biblical principles. Let me give you a few biblical principles that I believe Satan has attacked in our Christian homes. Number one, and number one of all, is authority.
Right.
Authority. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. God set up the authority structure in the home.
Amen.
So I don't like the way He set it up. Take it up with Him.
Yeah.
You know, there are times, Brother Ken, where I have to make the bedrock final decision, or I don't really care for the way it's set up either. But that's the way God set it up. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, the authority of the home, and particularly the man in the home, the father, the dad, is being attacked. If you want to know that, just browse by a sitcom.
Yeah, right.
When's the last time we had an old Michael Landon?
Yeah.
Huh?
Right.
He is the last one we've had. And I think that show ended in about 1984. So that's 30 years of mockery and making fun of the dad and the father. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible still says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. And I'll just say this, by the way, fellas, we got a lead.
Yes.
We got a lead. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. But authority is under attack. Let me give you something else that's under attack. We need God's biblical principles on authority. Hey, this is the way God set it up. It'll work the best if we follow it. Amen. Proverbs 24:3 says, upon wisdom is an house builded. I think about when our home is governed by biblical principles of authority. When our home is governed by biblical principles concerning work. Work. I'm talking about old-fashioned work. Work ethic. That's a good spot for an amen. Well, we live in a lazy generation. I like what Jim Vineyard said, and I agree. I was talking to Brother Jim Lutz from Metro Baptist the other day. Jim Vineyard said this. He said, he went right before his church, said, you know what my besetting sin is? And I think everybody almost kind of drew back in horror. He said, I'm lazy. So I work like the devil so no one else knows I'm lazy. I like that. Amen. I'm talking about in our home, do we have this idea of work? Work. Hey, we need to get some stuff done. Amen. And get it done around the house. And I read a book by Clarence Thomas and heard a speech that he gave this Supreme Court justice. He said he was raised by his grandfather, and his grandfather had an endless stream of work for them and to do, him and his brother. And you know why, Brother Leonard? He believed that old phrase, that old cliche, that idle hands and idle mind are the devil's workshop.
Right.
By the way, that's a biblical principle.
Amen.
And it's one we ought to govern our homes by.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know what? We work. We don't shirk work. Come on. We don't make somebody pull our load. We'll pull our own load. Amen.
Amen.
Biblical principles of authority. Biblical principles concerning work. Oh, can I give you a good one? Biblical principles concerning church. Listen to me. Sir, Mom, Dad, don't you dare let little Johnny who's 12 decide if they're coming to church or not.
Yes.
Don't you do it. You are shirking your responsibility and putting it on someone who doesn't know how to wipe their own nose.
Amen.
Amen. Governed by biblical principles. Listen, Sunday is the Lord's Day.
Amen.
We don't talk about whether we're going to church or not. We go to church.
Amen.
By the way, we meet on Wednesdays too. I know. Boy, you're getting personal now, Pastor. How about biblical principles concerning standards? Oh, anybody talks about standards in Albert Ewald, you're a legalist. You're a legalist. I mean, you're just a legal. No. There are some places Christians ought not to go.
Yes.
Amen. There are some things Christians ought not to listen to. There are some things Christians ought not to watch. Just this week, God helping me, there's all kinds of talk about this patriotic movie that's out called American Sniper. And listen, I'm not mad at anybody, but they use a piece of profanity in that movie constantly. I read a review on it. And they use a piece of profanity constantly that, Brother Jim, you would never put up with if someone stood in front of you and used it for 2 hours. But we got Christians going to the movies to see that because it's a patriotic movie. I don't do this often, but bless God, there are places Christians ought not to go. Amen. We ought not to stand there and put up with that. We're Christians. We name the name of Christ. And we need those kind of homes again. Amen. The kind of stuff is just not tolerated. And that's the problem, isn't it? We tolerate it. And when we tolerate it, we give our tacit approval to the fact that it's okay. It's not okay.
No.
Not if you have a home that's governed by biblical principles. A home that's governed by biblical principles, standards, church, authority. I could go on and on and on and on. Discipline. Ho, 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 ho. We got two generations where the rod has been spared. Don't we? I praise God. My dad was lost and he didn't spare it. I praise God now. I didn't then. I tried to run. Amen. Tried to climb out the window. Amen. I remember my dad just as clear as a bell standing in front of me as a young man. I think I was probably 8. He stood in front of me and he, with tears welling up in his eyes, he said, "You know why I spank you? I don't want you to be a reprobate. I don't want to have to visit you in prison," he said, "brother dear. I don't want, you know, there's a lot of people that have spared the rod and they got to make trips a mile north here." You know what we need, ladies and gentlemen? We need homes that are governed by biblical principles. I mean, listen, where this book has authority in our home. Amen? Where what this book says goes, not what mom thinks, not what dad thinks, what God says.
Amen.
What we need. Number one. A Christian home, America's greatest need, is a home which is governed by biblical principles. Number two, a home where members function in their God-given roles. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. A home which is governed by biblical principles. A home where members function in their God-given roles. Ephesians chapter 5. It lays out the God-given roles here in a home. Husbands, fathers, wives, mothers, children. Here they are. Verse 21, by the way, is the one that sets the stage for it all. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. As we gather up our people, Brother Jeff, and we say, we're going to have a Christian home. We're going to submit one to another. By the way, there's been times where I had to say to my kids, Brother Trav, I had to say, you know what, Daddy was wrong. Please forgive me. You say, oh, you should never do that. Oh, no, 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 no. I want them to know Daddy makes mistakes too. But it's still there in verse 22. It says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He's the Savior of the body. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church. So what's the God-given role for the husband and father? Sir, you are to lead in love. You're to lead in love. You're to take the leadership, sir. I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to. A couple of years ago, they were asking me if we were going to vote for a lady president. I don't know. You say, oh, are you? No, no. I just know the way God set it up. I just know the way God set it up. Men are supposed to lead. And I thank God. Listen, I thank God for this church. But we're an anomaly, folks. Where we have men that lead, where we have wives that submit to their husbands and serve the Lord. But listen, people look at us and they say, well, you guys are a bunch of dinosaurs over there. No, we just believe the Bible.
Amen.
We just believe the Bible. So, sir, you're supposed to lead in love. You're supposed to lead your wife to church. Amen. You're supposed to lead your wife to church. You're supposed to lead in family devotion, sir. You're supposed to lead. Now, that doesn't mean you're not tired. You come home, you're trying to work it all out. I'll say a little bit about that in a minute. But, sir, you're supposed to lead. You're supposed to lead your family. When you're at a grocery store and you see somebody that's lost, to pull that gospel tract out of your pocket. You know, your children ought to see you do that, sir. Amen, Pastor. Boy, that's good preaching. I needed that. Amen. Yes. 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 We learn more by what our children learn more by what they see than what we ever say. What they say goes many times in one ear and out the other. But when they see us leading, taking the reins, but it's supposed to be in love. Not supposed to take your wife by the hair and, you know, I joked about that when we went to Bible college. I said, yeah, we went to Bible college and Carrie told me she was going, but there was two heel marks on the back of the U-Haul all the way from Massachusetts to Michigan. Amen. No. The God-given role, sir, is that you lead. By the way, it's not always easy. And not only that you lead, but you lead in love. And you lead in love as Christ loved the church. I'll tell you what, ladies, I know you've got a hard command there, but that one's harder. As Christ loved the church, that is the love of loves right there. So we're to function in our God-given role. So fellas, we're to lead in love. Ladies, it says there in verse number 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. A wife is to be submissive in spirit. Boy, I'm saying all kinds of things that are getting me in trouble. I might as well just keep going. Nothing bothers me more than watching a wife henpeck her husband in public. I'm telling you, literally, I'd almost rather go see American Sniper than hear that. Amen. You see this poor guy, and he just had enough, by the way. He just can't take anymore. Amen. Ma'am, don't do that to your husband. Don't do that to him. Help him lead. You know what? If he's tired from a hard day at work and you can see that he's tired, why don't you get the devotion book in the Bible ready for him? Why don't you call the little crumb grabbers in? Amen. Say, come on, kids, we're going to have devotions. Daddy's got the Bible. You can help him lead. You can prop up his authority in front of your children. Say, aren't you glad you have a hard working daddy? Look how tired he is. Well, that's a way you can submit in spirit. Be a blessing. It's not just walking around like this, 5 feet behind your husband, you know. I remember my pastor preached on this one time. He talked about women being loud in church and all that. He said, next thing you know, women showed up in the next service with signs. I said, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. And just he said, I wasn't talking about that. Amen. It's just functioning within our role. I think about just the different roles. My wife knows, listen, you don't want me functioning in the role in the kitchen. You just don't want it. It's not going to be good. I mean, literally, it's not going to be good. You're going to say, well, can we get to go? Amen. Can we get order out? Amen. We function within our roles. And children, by the way, you're not off the hook here. You have one job, children. It's easy. Obey. So I appreciated this today. I saw Miss Marissa with Donald and Seth in the foyer. And by the way, that's Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And Miss Marissa said to Donald. She said, Donald, come here. And he did what all kids do. And she said this. Don't think about obeying, just obey. I like that. You know what, kids? That's all you have to worry about. Mom and Dad said, take out the garbage. You don't have to think about, well, should I really take out the garbage? By the way, if that had happened when I was a kid, God help us, amen. If I had thought about it, my dad would have given me a reason not to think about it the next time, amen. Children, all you have to do is be obedient. Brother Matt, if you tell Levi to clean your room, you have every right to expect him as his dad to clean his room. And on we could go, folks. You know, this message seems so basic. Mm-hmm. But I promise you, it really is America's greatest need, is that we would function within our roles. We would function within our roles. Number one, what's a Christian home? It's a home guided by biblical principles. Number two, it's a home where members function in their God-given roles. Can I give you number three? And these last three won't take long, and I probably won't even upset anybody. Amen. Number three, a home where Christ is preeminent. Sometimes the TV is preeminent. Always on. Always gawking. May Christ be preeminent in our homes. May it not just be dinner time where He's preeminent. May it be time together as a family. May it be before we go to bed. May it be when we get up and have devotions. May Christ be preeminent in our home. Colossians 1:18 says that in all things He might have the preeminence. Why is America falling apart? I'll tell you why. Because Christ is not preeminent in our homes. But He wants to be. And He should be. And He's earned the right to be preeminent in our homes. Number four. I thought about this one a lot. Just in my own home. Number four. A home that our children would want to duplicate. A home that our children would want to duplicate. It seems that, and I was talking to my pastor about this the other day, that this current millennial generation of Christians, one of their biggest, I want to say hobby, but it's really one of their biggest things that they do is criticize how the old generation got it wrong and how they are the enlightened ones that need to fix it. I'll tell you what, my parents weren't Christians. They did the best they could. They raised me in a home that I thought about. I thought about my dad's steadiness. I thought about my mom's sweetness. And Brother Jeff, I said, you know, that's something I would like to duplicate in my own home. I had another friend, I've mentioned him several times, Dr. Phil Tharp, dear man of God. He came from a home where his dad was a drunkard. His mother just had one arm, I think she had just a stub here, and he used to drag her out by the hair when he'd get drunk and beat her. And Phil Tharp, as a young boy, said, you know what, if God ever lets me have a home, it's going to be a place where there's love and peace and joy and all that. And by God's grace, that's the way he ran his home. I hope that my kids would say, you know, Dad wasn't perfect. Dad raised his voice probably a little too much. God had to give him laryngitis a couple times so he wouldn't do it. Amen. But I hope that they would say, but we had a godly home. We had a home that I would want to have for my family. By the way, the proof's in the pudding on that statement. Amen. That's a convicting statement. Is our home one that we would want our kids to duplicate? By the way, if it's not, let's make some changes. Amen? Let me give you the last point. A home which is governed by biblical principles. A home where members function in their God-given roles. A home where Christ is preeminent. A home that our children would want to duplicate. A home that is saturated with love. This is the last point. A home that is saturated with love. We live in a sensual age. It's the days of Noah, folks. It's the days of Lot. Amen. It's just, there's so many young people that are skewed to what love really is. My dear friend R.B. Ouellette, he said many years ago, I've quoted it many times. He said, when a young man today tells a young lady, I love you, in most cases, what he really means is, I love me and I want you. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. And so may our homes be that refuge from the world that is saturated with true godly love. where we love one another and sacrifice for one another.
Amen.
Where we do things. I appreciated what Mr. Casabo said. We were in men's prayer, and he said, you know, something that my wife and I always did for 61 years was we never went to bed angry.
Yeah.
It's good preaching right there. Should have had you preach tonight. You should see all the people scowling at me right now. Amen. No. May our homes be a place of love. You say, well, I'm not really a loving guy. Listen to me, fellas, it doesn't matter. You're commanded. You're under orders. Love your wife as Christ loved. Well, I told her I loved her when we got married, and I also told her if I ever changed my mind, I'd let her know. I'm not quite sure that that's biblical. Amen. And by the way, actually, I know it's not, because I love to hear from my family, Brother Lawley, when my kids come up and say, I love you, Daddy.
Yeah.
Or now the wonderful stage that we're in, and I know they pass quickly. The wonderful stage we're in is when Daddy comes home and they hear the keys. I hear them in the other room say, I hear Daddy's keys. Daddy! Amen. And I know very soon it's going to be, hey, Dad. And then it's going to be, hey. And then it's just going to be, amen. They don't even say anything. I know that stage is coming. Some of you are like, amen, Pastor. I'm in that stage right now. Amen. May there be love all over our homes.
Amen.
May there be love. You know what, Dad? It's okay for you to take your son and say, buddy, I sure love you. By the way, it's okay to say, you know why I go to work every day? I love you. I love your mom. And by the way, sir, best example you could ever be to your kids is love that woman that God gave you unconditionally. It's okay to even smooch at the house.
Amen.
Some of you are like, Pastor, you were stepping on toes before, but you're really getting personal now. Amen. Just mind your own business. No, that's okay. It's okay that you show them what real love is.
Yeah.
Instead of this fake garbage, which is not love, it's lust.
Yeah.
That's out there that they see every day and are bombarded with. May our homes be Christian homes. May they be saturated with love. I know some of you, and I appreciated Brother Horst mentioned in men's prayer too. He's like, you know, our kids are gone, but he said sometimes our grandkids come and they ask us for advice. And you know what's important then, Brother Bill, that your Christian home that you have right now is in order, is governed by biblical principles. Amen?
Amen.
If the Bible says it, doesn't matter what we think about it. Not long ago, a dear lady, try to talk to me and convince me. She said, you know, Pastor, when I'm not here, I still read my Bible and I still love God. And listen, I know there are folks that you get this weather, you can't get out, all this. But this wasn't the case. This was just simply, I didn't feel like going to church. And all I did, Brother Leonard, was I turned this Bible around and I put Hebrews 10:25 right there. And I said, how can you obey that away from God's people? And she said, but. And I said, how can you obey that away from God's people? Why? Because it says that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approach. You know what that is? That's a biblical principle that ought to govern our lives. I didn't even get into them. I think about give and it shall be given unto you. The tithe is the Lord's. You know what that is? A biblical principle that God ought to govern your life. Amen. And on and on and on. Our homes ought to be places where they're governed by biblical principles. That's what the Bible says. You know what man's trying to do now? It's amazing. And by the way, he's been trying to do it since Genesis 3. Really succeeded in the late 18th century with evolutionary teaching, and then in the 19th century with liberal Christianity, is just pervert the Bible to suit their lifestyle. Yea, hath God said? Yes, He did. And you know what? What he says ought to go in our homes. Amen? Homes governed by biblical principle. Home where members function in their God-given role. Sir, God commanded you to lead. Ma'am, God commanded you to submit. Young people, God commanded you to obey. A home where Christ is preeminent, where He has the preeminence in our lives. A home that children want to duplicate, and a home that is saturated with love. May God help us. You know what? We can meet America's greatest need right here at 2301 North Elm Road when we go back to our homes and decide, you know what? I want to have a Christian home. You know what it said about Abraham? That he was commanded his children and that his children after him would do justice and judgment. They would have godly homes. And then their children would have godly homes. And then their children would have God. And that's the answer, ladies and gentlemen. You know why? Because one day our children are going to go and live somewhere and they're going to have a neighbor that needs the Lord. And they're going to be able to reach them. And then that person can have a godly home. And that's how we reach the world, one person at a time. May God help us to fulfill America's greatest need. Father, thank you.